Wow, what an amazing love that we have from our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he died on the cross to forgive us of our sins and bring us back into right relationship with God. I think about those early disciples on that day that Jesus was crucified on that cross, how they must have been disappointed, they must have been discouraged. It must have seemed like an impossible situation for them on that day, an impossible set of circumstances for them on that day. But they took that day, and they gathered together, they prayed, they stayed together, they waited on the Lord, and on that third day, Jesus Christ arose from the dead, conquering sin, conquering death. He turned that impossible situation into something extraordinary for us today, and for men and women for all time, because of God's amazing love that he has for us. Today I want to talk about, what do you do when you're asked to do the impossible? Have you ever been asked to do the impossible in your life? Just an impossible situation that there's no probability of you able to get it done in any way. What do you do when you get into those situations? Maybe you've been given an assignment at work that's just too much to handle. Maybe there's too much schoolwork. You've got a professor that's just crazy and is just beyond reasonable of getting the work done. What do you do when you get into an impossible situation? Well, today we're going to look at Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, 10 and 11, the Word of God says, "The king's advisors complained, 'Nobody can do what you ask. What you're asking is impossible.'" So we have a story today about some men many thousands of years ago that were asked to do the impossible. And still today, we deal with, how do we deal with impossible situations going on in our life? Now, God tests you with stress before he trusts you with success. Are any of you under stress today? Well, if you're not, you're dead. We need to go get the defibrillator, roll you out on the floor, plug you up, and say, clear, boom, hit you. Because if you are alive, you are under stress. That's the reality of it. But God tests you with stress before he trusts you with success. So if you're under some stressful situation, know today that God is testing you. Are you going to trust him during those trying times? Are you going to trust him during those times of stress and distress in your life? During those situations that seem impossible for you in your life? I only got about a half a sermon today. That thing's got a kind of cannywampus out there, isn't it? And so, let's just think about what is going on here. And so, maybe it's because, major change that's happened in your life, that you've been under success, peer pressure, challenges to your faith, there's an impossible assignment, there's all kinds of things that come into our life that seem impossible. Maybe you've got a health situation that seems impossible. You've been to all the doctors, they can't seem to find a solution. Maybe you've got a family problem that doesn't seem to be getting resolved. Maybe it's your employment that's just absolutely impossible. Maybe it's your kids that are impossible. I don't know what's impossible for you in your life today, but God has a solution to your situation. And here in the book of Daniel, we see that Daniel is only 17 years old. He's in the second year of the king's intern program. He's in a group of honor students that are being prepped and prepared to rule and reign throughout the kingdom. This is the best of the best. This is the cream of the crop. These are young men that are overachievers. I mean, they know what is going on. And so here's a summary of what's happening here as we begin in Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. In the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he had a reoccurring dream that frightened him so badly that he couldn't sleep. So he called in all these magicians and psychics and fortune tellers and astrologers and demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. Now, much of the Babylonian culture during this time was given over to magic. So the king surrounded himself with magicians, with psychics, with advisors, with astrologers. And the king said, "I keep having this dream, and it troubles me. Tell me what I dreamed and what it means." And the astrologers asked, "Okay, tell us your dream and we'll tell you what it means." But the king said, "No way. If you can't tell me what I dreamed, why should I trust your interpretation? If you can't tell me what I dreamed, you're just a bunch of fakes and there's no real power or wisdom in your words." Now then all the kings and fortune tellers said, "Nobody anywhere can do what you ask. And no king in history has ever demanded anything from this, from a magician, from a medium, from an astrologer. What you're asking us to do is impossible. That made King Nebuchadnezzar furious, and he said, I am dead serious. If you can't tell me what my dream was, I'm going to have your all so-called wise men tortured, executed, and then I'm going to have your houses demolished into rubble. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to me like a very stressful situation. I'm going to get tortured, I'm going to get executed, and then they're going to tear down my house. My family, who's behind me, has no place to live, and they're going to be scattered. Now, that's a pretty stressful situation. Anybody under that kind of stress today? I mean, you know, that's pretty stressful. But that was what was going on in this particular passage of Scripture. And so the advisors begged, just tell us your dream, and we'll interpret it. But the king said, no, you're all condemned as worthless. And he issued a decree to execute all of his royal advisors, including Daniel and his three friends. Now, that's what you call a crisis, my friends. What's going on here? One common trait of human beings is that we would all like to know the future, right? We'd like to know what's going to go on in the future. That's a reality for all of us. Why? Because it gives us a sense of control. The more insecure we are, the more we try to control things. So anytime you see someone around you trying to control things, being a control freak, that's the insecurities that are going on within them. So, you know, you need to realize that what's happening here, people are so desperate oftentimes for control and hope, and they put their trust in all sorts of quacks, fakes, and phonies, wanting to find out the future. And oftentimes, they're only doing it for profit. Now, before we look at how to respond to the impossible situations, let's review a couple things. Three things that God says about predicting the future. Number one, no one knows the future except for God. That's the reality. No one knows the future except for God. Now, Ecclesiastes 8:7 says, no one can tell the future. Ecclesiastes 10:14 says, fools claim to know the future and love to tell anyone who will listen, but no one knows what's going to happen. Now, oftentimes, surprises come our way. Why doesn't God show you your future? Why doesn't God lay it all out in front of us all at one time? Well, I believe there's four reasons. One, we don't have the mental capacity to handle it. Our 3.5-pound finite brain couldn't handle what God would show us if he showed us everything about our future. We just don't mentally can't handle it. Two, we don't have the perspective that God has. God exists in a dimension that doesn't include time and space. And so God understands the events that are going to unfold throughout your life in ways that we cannot understand it. So he gives us one day at a time, this little slice of life that we're to live in. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. Because if I put too much worry about the future, I'm not going to be living in the present. If I hang too much onto the past, I'm not going to be able to move forward today into the future. And so we need to know that God's perspective is important as well. A third reason, knowing the future might just scare you to death. If you saw your future, you might just drop dead and die. And fourth, God wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him for what is to be in your life. Now, God reveals only what I need to obey him in that moment. He wants me to trust him for all the rest. So that is a good question. Are we going to trust God when we get into impossible situations that we can't figure out and that we can't seem to work out? Are we going to trust God in those trying times, in those difficult days? Are we truly going to trust him? Now, God is not in the business of satisfying your curiosity. God does not owe you an explanation. Are you aware of that? A lot of people say, well, God, you got to tell me. No, God does not have to do that. God does not owe you an explanation. And so we need to get over that. He's only interested in you obeying him with what he's already told you to do and trusting him for what he hasn't told you to do. Anytime God does tell us about the future, like our rewards in heaven, it's to motivate us to serve him today so we'll be faithful and obedient. Obeying God today is more important than guessing about tomorrow. Now, when is not a question God likes to answer often. When, Lord, when? A lot of times that's our prayers. When, Lord, are you going to do this? When, Lord, are you going to take care of this? For 2,000 years, every generation, people have claimed to figure out exactly when the second coming of Jesus Christ will be, and they have been 100% wrong. And so that's the reality of it. No one knows the day, the time of the hour. We can know the seasons and the signs of the times. That's a reality. But the Bible says in Luke 13:32, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So since we don't know, we need to trust God for today to take care of our tomorrow. Now, God says also that all psychics and mediums are frauds and they are fakes. All psychics and mediums are frauds and fakes, 100% of them. God says they're used by Satan to confuse, to kill, and destroy, and they want to trip you up. You may be reading your horoscope. You may be consulting a psychic over the internet or over the phone. You know, you may be thinking, oh, I'm trying to get answers to problems that are unsolvable for me in my life. Well, I'm going to tell you this, that the Bible says in Isaiah 44:25, God says this, I make fools of psychics and fortune tellers, and I frustrate the predictions of astrologers. Their wisdom is foolishness. So if you're consulting with someone like that, or reading a horoscope, it's foolishness. Stop it. Quit being a fool. God gives us clear instruction on that. Leviticus 19:31, do not rely on mediums and psychics, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord, your God. God is very serious about avoiding the occult. Leviticus 23, God says, I'm against anyone who goes to mediums or fortune tellers for advice because that person is being unfaithful to me, so I will cut him off. So if you're doing it, you know what you need to do? Stop it immediately, lest that you be cut off from God. You know what they did to false prophets and fortune tellers and people who believed in them back in the days of the Israelites? They put people to death for following the occult. That's how serious of a crime and a situation it is to God. It's trusting in someone other than God. Now, why is God against these people? It's dishonest. It's usually for money or for fame that they do it. It's controlling other people and it's an attempt to control the future rather than to trust God. You see these channelers on TV, they'll get an audience in front of them and they'll start talking about, you know, their grandpa or their long-lost relative or a friend that's died. How do they do that? Well, Satan, his angels, and his demons observe people while they're alive, understand their dialect, understand their accents, understand where they've been, what they've done, and they're speaking through that channel. It's nothing but the devil speaking. You're not talking to someone on the other side. There's a gulf fixed between us and them is what the Bible says. So don't be deceived. And don't be deterred. When you see someone like that on TV, you need to turn it off and not be fooled. Not be fooled. Turn it off and don't go down that wrong road. God also says, the test of a true prophet of God is 100% accuracy. Two checks. Did it happen? And is it biblical? Now, Deuteronomy 19:21-22. If you want to know if a prophet or his message is really from God, here's how to test him. If any part is false or does not come true, then his message is fake and you should ignore and avoid him. You should ignore and avoid anyone you come into contact like that. Why? Isaiah 8:20, check the predictions against my word, says the Lord. If the predictions are different from mine, it's because there's no light or truth in them. Deuteronomy 18:20 says, in Israel, false prophets were put to death. A simple way to show that psychics are fake is do what King Nebuchadnezzar did in our passage of Scripture today. Never give them any information. Never answer their leading questions. And a true psychic should never have to ask a question. Now, an illustration. They ask for you, well, what's your credit card number? And you're talking to them over the phone. Are talking to them over the internet. What's your credit card number? You should say, well, you should know that if you're a psychic. I shouldn't give you information you ought to already know. You know? So you know, that right there is a true tell sign right away that they're going down the wrong road. Now, Daniel 2, let me summarize what's going on in this passage of Scripture. Verses 1 through 9, King Nebuchadnezzar has a reoccurring dream. He challenges his royal advisors to interpret it. Verse 10 through 13, his advisors fail to interpret the dream, and he decides to kill them all. In verses 14 through 30, Daniel intervenes to interpret the dream. In verses 31 through 45, God gave Daniel the meaning of the king's dream. And in verses 46 through 49, the king honors God and promotes Daniel. Now, what do you do when you're asked to do the impossible? You know, I've used this process over and over as a leader. And I want to give you some steps to take today of what to do when you find yourself in an impossible situation. I want to give you some helpful hints, some helpful suggestions from God's Word to help you when you face impossible situations or circumstances in your life. First, don't panic or be afraid. Now, if the government sent someone to assassinate you, would you panic? I probably would. My first inclination would not be like Daniel. I would be going for the gun, okay? If the man's coming to my house to kill me and take me down because of some governmental authority or rule or intrusion, then I don't know about you, I'm going for the gun. How about, I'm just being honest with you, I'm talking to my flesh, okay? Now, that's not what Daniel did, and that's not what the Word says, and that's not what you should do. But what is it? What is it that the advice that's given to us? Well, the advice that's given to us in Daniel 2:14, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. This test was once again of Daniel trusted God. What are you panicked about today? Daniel prayed instead of panicking. So what do you do in an impossible situation? The first thing you need to do is pray and not panic. Pray and trust God and not panic and trust in your ways or the world's means or resources that are available to you or around you. Pray, don't panic. That's the first thing to do. You know, a lot of times we get in panicky situations. You may even suffer from panic attacks or just all of a sudden things come on you and you're just overwhelmed by life and you just shut down. What do you do if you're faced with those situations? God, help me. God, help me. Help me to trust you in this time. Help me to overcome this situation, this circumstance. What is it that you need to do? Now, what do you panic about today? There's a lot of things that we could be panicked about. But what is it that you're panicked about? A second thing, what you need to do when you're asked to do the impossible is this. Ask why. Learn the facts and the motivation. Find out the real reason behind the request. If there is an emotion involved that's fueling the fury. Now, an illustration. In this case, the king was clearly afraid. He had reoccurring nightmares. He was afraid of going to sleep at night because of the nightmares he was having. You know, he was panicked. He was afraid. What is it that you're afraid of? What is it you're afraid to do that's reoccurring in your life that's got you in an impossible situation or circumstance in your life? What is it that you're afraid of? The king was afraid of going to sleep and having his nightmare. Maybe your boss is under pressure from his boss and job's on the line. And now he's asking and taking it out on you, passing on the fear he feels or the fear that she feels. Any of you, somebody got giving you the business at your business? I mean, you know, sometimes people give you your business at the business. And you just got to look back and, okay, what's the emotion that's driving that? Why is my boss acting that way? What's driving them to behave in such a manner? And when we understand it, it helps us to understand better that situation and circumstance and how to pray for them in that situation or circumstance. Yeah, that may be taking it out on you, but there's a reason why they're doing that. Daniel 2:15. Daniel asked Arioch, why has the king issued such a harsh decree? So Arioch told him all that had happened. In Proverbs 23:23, the Bible says, get the facts at any price. Question, what do I need to know in order to do this? You know, so when you're faced with an impossible situation, you need to get the facts. It's absolutely important. I consult with a lot of churches, and one of the problems many of our churches have is this, is they get wrapped up in something what I call the paralysis of analysis. They're always analyzing things, and you can never have all the facts when you're making a decision. And sometimes those facts change as a decision is being made. You can't get caught up in the paralysis of analysis. A decision has to be made and you have to move forward. You have to ask God and trust God to give you the wisdom and insight to make the best decision for that situation. Don't delay, don't get discouraged, don't get caught up in the paralysis of analysis, but make the decision and move forward by faith into the future. It will help you greatly. It helps churches greatly when they get to a point of doing that. Now think about this. We got to try to find a way. A third thing is that we got to ask for time to get a solution. In a crisis, the great temptation is to be impulsive. Daniel knew that he needed to spend time with God. Now notice he doesn't delay in dealing with the situation. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't postpone. He doesn't get distracted. And these are problems we have in our world we live in today. But he doesn't postpone. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't get distracted. If you know anything about me, I'm a little ADHD, a little OCD. I've got all kinds of D issues from a psychological perspective. And you know, but you know, we can't get distracted and get derailed. We got to stay on task. You know, we can't just delay a decision that needs to be made. You know, we don't need to procrastinate and put off something in our life that's got to be done. And so when we get to those points and places in our life, exactly what do we do? Daniel courageously faced his fears head on. Daniel 2:16 says, Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time so he could tell the king what the dream meant. Now, what are you procrastinating about because it's scary or difficult? What are you putting off because it's a scary decision to make or it's a difficult decision to make? What are you delaying because it's a hard thing to do? You know, I would encourage you to pray about it, put it in perspective, then move forward by faith on it and settle it and move forward. A lot of times we get so caught up in analyzing our decisions. A fourth thing is this: enlist prayer support from your friends when you're dealing with an impossible situation. Enlist prayer support from your friends. You know, I'm very fortunate. I got some really good guys or really good friends that I know they got my back and I got their back. And here in this story, we know at least six guys that had Daniel's back in this passage of Scripture. And so build some friends. You say, well, I don't got any friends. Well, maybe you need to be more friendly, okay? Turn that frown upside down, friend, and find some friends. You're going to need some friends. Don't wait till the crisis happens and the impossible situation encompasses you. Build some friends before that goes down because you're going to need them along the way and your friends are going to need you along the way of the journey of life as well. So build some friends. How do I build friends? Well, quit being so ornery and cantankerous is the first place to start. When people see you in the hallway, are they looking for the bathroom or an exit ramp to get off on because they don't want to have to deal with you? I mean, you know, really be a more pleasant person is a good place to start if you need to build some friends. And so, but the important thing is make some friends, build some friends. Now, Daniel 2:17 and 18 says this: Then Daniel went home and told his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, what had happened. And he said, pray that the Lord God who rules from heaven will be merciful and explain this mystery so that we and the other advisors won't be put to death. Question is, do you have any prayer partners? I highly recommend you form a prayer team before the crisis comes. Now notice the way Daniel is concerned for his co-workers, not just for himself. He wasn't a selfish individual, but he was concerned about others. He was praying for people that were pagan and ungodly Babylonians. Friends, as a church here at Eastwood Baptist Church, you can't be self-centered, you can't look in, but you also got to look out. You got to pray for those 100,000 pagan people in Warren County that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. This is a great church. You have such a great commission vision. You have an Acts 1:8 mindset of how to reach people here in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our othermost parts of the world. You know, I just know the things you're doing right here locally through the association. I know, you know, you're going to Lynch and in the state. Then I know you're going down to Boone, North Carolina. Then I know you do overseas trips. You put shoes out here from people. You all are engaged in Acts 1-8 mindset ministry here at Eastwood Baptist Church. And that's what the Lord wants for us, to be looking beyond ourselves to others. And that's what Daniel was doing, praying for those pagan lost Babylonians that he worked with, that they would not be killed, but they would be spared. Do you have some pagan Babylonians in your workplace? You say, "Preacher, you don't know. You don't have a clue. You ought to hear this one guy over there. He's pagan out there. He's pagan unplugged. I mean, he's pagan off the chain." Well, friends, you need to pray for some pagans in your life. If you don't got any pagans, you need to get out more. You need to go out, get out in your neighborhood. You can go to the gym. You need to pay attention at the restaurant and tell your waiter or waitress. You need to realize there's a lot of pagan out there. Anybody got any lack of pagan in the world we live in today? We got pagan all over the place. Pagan everywhere. Do we just despise them or detest them? No, we pray for them. We pray for them that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit would convince them of their sin and convict them of their sin, and that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our role and responsibility as a church, that we pray for the pagans in the world that we live in today, just as Daniel did in his day. And then what do? We pray, a fifth thing, we pray and expect God to give supernatural help. I'm talking about help that you don't have the power in your own power to get. When you don't have the money, the connections, the education, the answers, the funding, the ideas, when you're not smart enough, you need to pray for supernatural power. God wants to ask you for help. He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I'll answer you, and I'll show you the marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own." There's a lot. I'm like Winnie the Pooh. I'm a bear, a little brain, okay? There is a whole lot of things that I can't figure out on my own. Are you with me? Just my 3.5 pound finite brain can't figure it out. It's just not an option. So I'm going to have to pray to God to help me figure out things that I do not understand. And God will help you with that. But the Bible says that you have not because you ask not, but you have to pray in faith. James 1:5-7, "If you need wisdom, ask God. He will give it gladly, give it to you. He won't resent you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that you expect him to answer, for a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave in the sea and tossed by the wind." People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You ask not because you have not, but you receive not because you doubt. You don't have faith. Do you have a doubtful mind? Or does your mind sit on the author and the perfecter of your faith? He will help you if you trust in him. Is your mind doubtful? If you have a doubtful mind, you need to shore that up today. You can be assured that Christ can give you a clear mind, a competent mind, a mind that is settled, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he is your Savior. And that if I place my faith and trust in him, that Christ has a plan for my life, a purpose for my life, and positions me in my life where he wants me to be, so I can carry out what he wants me to do with my life and the occupation I've been called to with the time I've been given on this planet. And when I check out, I'm going to go to be with him throughout time and eternity in a place that he has prepared for me. Now, my friends, is your mind settled today? Do you have a doubtful mind? Don't let your doubtful mind defeat you. Rise above it and step up and step with God by faith. The next step of achieving the impossible is to worship God. Now, get the focus off yourself and get it on to God. Daniel spent the night praying and worshiping God. In Daniel 2:9, "During the night, God revealed and explained the mystery of the dream to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven." Daniel was up all night praying for insight. When's the last time you've been up all night praying for insight because you were in an impossible, stressful situation that you could not solve? You need to be up all night praying for insight. Now, have you ever prayed all night about anything? Prayer reveals what's really important to you. If you were threatened with execution the next day, I'll guarantee you, you would be up all night praying for insight. Amen? If executioner was coming to your house tomorrow, you would be up all night tonight praying for insight. Now, Daniel shows us how to worship when you're asked to do the impossible. How are we to worship? Y'all have great worship here at Eastwood Baptist Church. I just hope you as a church don't take for granted how great of a church God has given you here at Eastwood. Incredible worship, incredible preaching, great vision and great leadership. You know, don't take for granted what God has given you. You know, what is it that we need to do when we get in stressful, impossible situations? We need to worship. You need to come to church is what you need to do to worship God and give Him praise when you're in a tough situation. You need to do worship yourself when you get into these impossible situations. First, praise God for who He is. Daniel 2, 19 and 20. Then Daniel praised God, saying, "Our God, your name will be praised forever and ever. You're all powerful and you know everything. Your name," the third commandment, "don't use God's name in vain. Jesus, hallowed be your name. Great commission, baptize in the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit." My friends, we need to understand there's power in the name of Jesus. When I pastored, we'd sit down almost every week and we'd say, "Did we mention the name of Jesus 50 times in worship today? Did we pray about Jesus? Did we sing about Jesus? Did I preach about Jesus? Was Jesus' name mentioned 50 times? Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus, and we need to keep our eyes fixed on the author and the perfecter of our faith. And the main thing is to keep the main thing is Jesus." So don't take for granted what God has given you. Second thing about worship, honor God for what He does. You control human events. You give rulers their power and you take it away. You are the source of wisdom and knowledge. You explain deep mysteries because even the dark is light to you. You are the God worshipped by my ancestors. Senior adults, I pray your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren claim that verse about you. "I don't like it. It ain't my style." You ain't got much style left wearing that suit you've been wearing for the last 40 years anyway. You still on bell bottoms. I think they're back in, aren't they? "I don't like it." Well, let me tell you something, my friends. You're going to check out one day here real soon. What are you going to leave behind? You better plant some trees that you won't eat fruit from. You better dig some cisterns that you won't drink from. Because your children and grandchildren coming along behind you, are you going to be seen faithful as positioning them to carry out the cause of Christ in their culture, in their community, and the world they find themselves in? Or is it going to be about me and my preference about what I want and what I like? I want to tell you something. You need to be a cheerleader for your pastor. Amen? You got a great leader. Instead of saying no, 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 you need to say go, go, go. You know, we need to break it up here. You know, this section is go, okay? And this section is Tom. Are you with me? Let's try this. Go, Tom. Go, Tom. Come on, UK's undefeated. We could do better than that. You know, go, Tom. You know, encourage your pastor. Lift him up. Don't have him for lunch on the plate on Sunday during a restaurant where other people out there hearing you talking about what he preached. Tell him, "Man, this is a great sermon today. Man, the Lord really spoke to us through His Word. I wish other people in this restaurant would come to Eastwood Baptist Church. It's just grand, glorious. It's good and wonderful. It's just fantabulous and fantastic." I know that's dinner conversation every Sunday, is it not? It ought to be. It ought to be, amen. I mean, we have the privilege and opportunity to come into the house of the Lord and worship our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And the third thing about worship is thank God for helping me. Daniel 2:23, "And I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You told me what I asked for, and you revealed to me what the king demanded." God helps us in our times of impossible situations. A seventh thing, use what God shows me to save others. use what God shows me to save others. And we need to understand that God is here to help us. Daniel 2:24. Then Daniel rushed to Sirach, who had been ordered to execute all the king's advisors. Daniel said, "Call off the execution. Take me to the king, and I'll explain the meaning of the dream to him." The story continues in Daniel 2:25 and 26. Then Arioch rushed to Daniel and to the king and said, "I have found one of the captives from Judah who can tell you your dream and the meaning of it." The king said to Daniel, "Is this true? Can you tell me my dream and also what it means?" And then the eighth thing, we need to point people to God. Give God all the credit. Notice this. This is Daniel, who is 17 years old. Now, when's the last time you've seen a king consult with a 17-year-old about anything? This king is so desperate, in such a difficult, impossible situation, he's willing to listen to a 17-year-old in his internship program. That's how bad it's gotten. That's how difficult the day it is, that he's listening to a 17-year-old intern. But that 17-year-old intern had wisdom and knowledge far beyond any of his astrologers or magicians or soothsayers, because he had tapped into the wisdom of Almighty God. Don't look down on anyone because they're young. They have a lot to offer to this church and to his kingdom. We need to build up our young people. Amen. We need to be there for them, because I want to tell you, they're going to have a hard way to go in this life. We need to build them up, and we need to help them out. Now finally, Daniel 2:27 through 30. Daniel replied, "No wise man or psychic or fortune teller or astrologer can give an explanation to the mystery of your dream. But there is a God in heaven who reveals the mysteries, and he has chosen to show, God of heaven who reveals these mysteries, chosen to show you what will happen in the future. And now God has revealed this mystery to me, not because I'm smarter than anyone else, but for your benefit, so that you, O king, may understand it." What a witness. He doesn't take credit for it, but gives God the glory. He gives God the credit. Now finally, the king's response to Daniel. Daniel 2:46 and 47. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar bowed to the ground before Daniel and worshipped him and commended the people to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings and sweet incense before them. The king said to Daniel, "Truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret." A pagan king admits that Daniel's God is the one true God. Friends, we need to pray today that there'll be young people of influence that will challenge our government officials to speak truth and quit lying and give God the glory for what he deserves. Amen. We need people like that today. Daniel 2:48 and 49. Then the king promoted Daniel to a high position, gave him many valuable gifts, and made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as chief over the wise men. And at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who we talked about last week, to be in charge of the affairs of the province of Babylon while Daniel remained in the king's court. Given a reward, a greater responsibility, prizes, greater position, but Daniel doesn't forget his friends. He brings them along. When you're faced with an impossible situation and God delivers you, don't just eat it all up for yourself, but bring people along that are behind you and help them out as well. Don't forget where you've been. Don't get too big for your britches, is what my mama used to tell me. Remember where you came from. Remember where you came from, and bring people along that have been there with you on that journey along the way. I close with this question. What seems impossible in your life today? You got a big business deal out there you need to close. You got a house full of kids that are driving you nuts, and it's just crazy right now. You got a health situation that you've been to all the doctors, you've taken the treatments, nothing seems to work. Nothing seems to be doing any good. Well, even in death, if we know Christ, we are set free and we are healed, even in those tough times and situations, even if God chooses not to heal us on this side of eternity. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you got a child that's giving you a challenge right now. Maybe your income is a mess. You got more month than you got money. I don't know what the impossible situation is for you right now. Maybe you've got a professor that's just unbelievably hard, and there's no way you're going to pass this class. I don't know what your impossible situation is today. But I do know this, that God is able to help you if you will ask Him to see you through any and all situations and circumstances in your life. We're getting ready to sing our hymn invitation right now. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Because if you don't know Christ, life isn't going to make sense for you. It's going to be impossible for you to figure it out. So I want to encourage you to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him today and be saved. If you're today and you know Jesus, but you've been strayed from Him, you've been backslidden, you've been in a way you're not as close to Him as you once were, maybe today you need to connect with that power He's already given you. Plug back into that power to be revived, renewed, restored, refreshed. Today this altar is open for that time as well. Maybe you're here and you've been thinking about joining this church. You've been coming for a while. I want to tell you, I don't know of a better church anywhere. I just didn't say in Warren County or Kentucky or America. I said, I don't know of a better church anywhere than Eastwood Baptist Church. If you can't join this church, I don't know what church you're going to join. This is a great church. You know, get connected by what Christ is doing through this church and be a part of what God is doing. Maybe you need to come and join fellowship with this church today. I don't know. Maybe you've got an impossible situation or set of circumstances going on in your life today. And maybe you just need to come to this altar and bow this morning and say, God, I need help. I need hope. I need You, Jesus. I don't know where you are today, but the Lord Jesus is speaking to you in any way through the power and the presence of His Holy Spirit. If He's convicting you of what's going on in your life and convicting you of your sin, then I want to encourage you to respond to Him right now as we stand to sing our hymn of invitation.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.